This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The sky is falling, according to the Wall Street Journal and most legacy media chronicling the aftermath of President Donald Trump's announcement on April 10th of tariffs for nations of the world. The stock market tanked and the fate of humanity was declared to be even more uncertain than on April 1st when such claims were viewed with skepticism they deserved on all other days of the year, April Fool's Day. Well, it appears that China has panicked and Mexico will not retaliate to the tariffs. Donald Trump says the tariffs are strengthening longtime abused USA. Asian markets plunged today following the last week's two-day meltdown on Wall Street, and Trump said he won't back down on the sweeping new tariffs he announced Wednesday that have roiled global trade. He said oil prices are down, interest rates are down, food prices are down, there's no inflation, and the longtime abused USA is bringing in billions of dollars a week from the abusing countries on tariffs that are already in place, Trump said. This is despite the fact that the biggest abuser of them all, China, whose markets are crashing, just raised its tariffs by 34% on top of its long-term, ridiculously high tariffs. Not acknowledging my warning, said Trump, for abusing countries not to retaliate. Well, where are we setting here? Where are we going with this? It seems to me, as I listen to the news and I listen to the various prognosticators and so on, it seems that there's great confusion, but there's an awful lot of inducement of fear. And fear has torment, and that's one of the reasons why they use it. They use it because it works. Fear works. It really does. And today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about the nature of that fear, but in a different way than you might think. The title of today's program is Tariff Cries, Christians Terrified. Tariff Cries, Christians Terrified. The Shocking Interconnection. Now, that may seem strange, but by the time you finish listening to today's program, you will understand very well why I chose that title. Because there really is an interconnection, but it's not an interconnection that you might think of. But it is a serious interconnection. More than 50 countries have contacted the White House to start trade talks. A top economic advisor to U.S. President Donald Trump said yesterday, as U.S. officials sought to defend sweeping new tariffs that have unleashed global turmoil, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent downplayed the stock market drop and said there was no reason to anticipate a recession based on the tariffs. Trump jolted economies around the world after he announced broad tariffs on U.S. imports last Wednesday, triggering retaliatory levies from China and sparking fears of a global trade war and recession. Trump officials sought to portray the tariffs as a savvy repositioning of the U.S. in the global trade order and the economic disruptions as a short-term fallout. I want to put the emphasis on a short-term fallout. We don't know how long a short-term is. How long is a short-term? Well, how long have we been dealing with this tariff issue? According to Nancy Pelosi, we've been dealing with it certainly since 1996. Believe it or not, yes, you heard that correctly, Nancy Pelosi. We're going to hear from her in just a moment. Tariff-stunned markets face another week of potential tariff turmoil, with fallout from Trump's sweeping import levies keeping investors on the edge. Taiwan's president, though, yesterday offered zero tariffs on the basis for talks, with the U.S. pledging to remove trade barriers rather than imposing reciprocal measures and saying Taiwanese companies will raise their U.S. investments. Peter Navarro, Trump's tariff guru, has pushed back against the mounting nervousness and insisted to investors that you can't lose money unless you sell. You can't lose money unless you sell. Well, what would panic people do? Sell. They'll sell short, and therefore they'll lose. And their panic will have been fulfilled, as if it were prophecy, self-fulfilled prophecy. Right now, the smart strategy is not to panic, said Navarro. Just stay in, because we're going to have the biggest boom in the stock market we've ever seen under Trump policies. Russia has not been targeted by the latest raft of tariffs because, as they say, talks with Moscow over its invasion of Ukraine are the premier focus now for their omission from the hit list. Trump has long insisted that countries around the world that sell products to the United States are in fact ripping off Americans, and he sees tariffs as a means to right that wrong. But many economists have warned that tariffs are passed on to consumers and that they could see price rises at home. Well, there is an element of truth in all of these things, but all deception is framed around an element of truth. Almost all deception is framed around an element of truth. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to help uncover some of that. But what we need to know is that actually, we did not have any, believe it or not, we did not have any income taxes until about 100 years ago. Did you know that? Until 112 years ago, tariffs, not taxes, funded the U.S. government. Now, am I suggesting, or anyone else suggesting, that we revert to a complete reliance upon tariffs in order to fund the U.S. government? No, not necessarily, but maybe, just maybe, it might have a significant effect on reducing taxes and getting rid of the IRS itself. Wouldn't that be something that would please a lot of people? Then what would we do? Well, there's a lot of talk about taxation. You see, it's not just about tariffs, it's about taxation. It's also about regulation. Because all of these things are out of order. In fact, the entire country's economy is out of order. It doesn't mean that our economy is totally tanking at the moment, but it is out of order. And Donald Trump, as a businessman, sees through all the political machinations that have been taking place for decades with nobody having the moral or political courage to deal with it. He says, enough is enough. We're going to deal with it. There's going to be short-term pain. Please try to endure the pain for a moment while we get to the bottom of this thing and do the economic surgery that is necessary to correct this problem. Speaking of surgery, I want to share with you after the upcoming break a little story about myself, and perhaps you can relate to it. A little surgery. Why would we have surgery? Because we have a problem. How do we know we have a problem? Because somebody who has the insight, maybe a doctor or someone else, can point out that we have a problem. And then when we're pointed out that we have a problem, then we have to decide, okay, are we willing to deal with the problem or let it continue? What are the consequences of letting it continue? And so we measure the risk. That's what Donald Trump is doing, measuring the risk. And he says the risk is worth all the short-term pay. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Yesterday, I happened to listen in the evening as Donald Trump was flying back to Washington, D.C., and he interviewed or was interviewed by a very casual kind of gaggle of reporters there on the plane that you would never have had Joe Biden do. You couldn't even get him out of his basement to campaign. But here's Donald Trump in a free-flowing conversation with all of the various reporters there as he stands in the doorway in the airplane and has a long conversation with him that's all on television. So, as I listened to him, he made a statement when he was continually asked by one of the reporters, well, isn't this going to be a big problem? Aren't we going to have all kinds of losses and maybe a recession? And the markets are just tanking. But he says, no, our country is going to be much stronger. As for China, Trump is aiming to shrink the trade deficit with the communist giant. He said, unless we solve that problem, I'm not going to make a deal. So U.S. customs agents began collecting Trump's unilateral 10% tariff on all imports from many countries on Saturday. Higher reciprocal tariff rates of 11 to 50% on individual countries are due to take effect at 12 a.m., 12:01 a.m. Wednesday. So here's what Donald Trump said in response to that woman reporter that continued to plague him with these many worrying, fearful questions. He said, sometimes you have to take medicine. Sometimes you have to take medicine. Well, let me just share a few things with you, just to kind of get it off the table, because you're not here to talk to. So that is to talk with. And so I'll just share a few things from my own short-term or maybe a little longer-term background. First of all, I had to go to the doctor this last weekend because it was somewhat of an emergency. I discovered that I have had contacted either poison ivy, poison oak, or something like that. And at first I thought they were bug bites, but then I began to see the pattern and the itching that was spreading, not just in the spot, but throughout the body. And I thought, oh no, I've been here, done this before. I got to go to the doctor. I need to get on one of those prednisone packs to stop this infection that is spreading through the body. And so I did. The doctor recognized it immediately and prescribed exactly what I knew that I needed. And he said, that's just the standard remedy that we have. So was I willing to go through the prednisone pack? It's going to take about 10 days. It has the effect of raising your blood pressure for a period of time. And it has some other effects that we don't need to go into. But is the short-term pain and deficit worth the long-term gain of getting rid of the problem? Absolutely. Because if I had not done that, the problem would have plagued me and gone on and on and on until my entire body would have been filled with this poison. That was just this weekend. Also, last week, I ended up having to go to a special kind of dermatologist surgeon called a Mohs surgeon. Now, why did I have to go there? Because the dermatologist had discovered that on one side of my nose was a small spot that didn't seem to be healing and didn't seem to look like other kinds of regular dermatitis. So she says, we need to take a biopsy. So I said, yes, because I understand that as a Swede, Scandinavian skin, I am prone to skin problems. My skin is like a whatever you call it. Anyway, a measurement of sun. Just a few minutes of sun and I can feel it on my skin. So in the process, we discovered another spot just on the other side that was even smaller. So we had to be scheduled for what was called a Mohs surgery, M-O-H-S. It's a very specialized kind of mixture of dermatological surgery coupled with plastic surgery. Well, no pain, no gain. So I had to go through the surgery, and I knew that I was going to be somewhat defaced with my nose puffing up with stitches and so on, and my eyes swelling up to where I could hardly see for 2 or 3 days, and still did this program, by the way. And the net result is now most of the swelling is down. The stitches were taken out. None of this was desirable. None of this was something that I would have wished for, but it was necessary. Short-term pain for long-term gain. A number of years ago, the same Mohs surgeon discovered on my forehead a spot that wouldn't heal. I would say that it was maybe a half an inch in diameter. It was a red spot, and most people would never have noticed it. But I noticed it because it just didn't seem to heal. It was nothing horrible about it. It was just there. And you don't mess around with things on your skin that won't heal. At least I don't, because I know the consequences. Maybe you do too. Maybe you have a friend that does. And so I went in, and they told me I would be there all day. Well, I didn't want to be in this doctor's office all day while they carved away on my forehead. But I knew that I had to go in because no pain, no gain. So I went in, and they began to carve away early in the morning. They cut away an area around that spot, maybe a total of 3/4 of an inch in diameter. In other words, maybe 1/8 to 1/4 inch larger than the actual spot itself. They said, we have to do that in order to check the margins to see if there's any basal cell cancer in the surrounding tissue. Well, guess what? They did. They found it. So they said, okay, you got to come back in, and we're going to do another circle around, even wider, to see if we can get outside the scope of this basal cell cancer. Obviously, it spread under your skin. So I went in again. Guess what? After further biopsy, they discovered that even in the extra circle that they had done, which was now about 1 inch in diameter, they still found basal cell. So they said, sorry, Mr. Chris Meyer, you're going to have to come back in the same day now. All of this is happening the same day. You're going to have to come back in and let us work even further out. By the time we were through, I was the last patient out of that doctor's office that day. And by the time they were through, please try to understand the size of this hole in the middle of my forehead. It was approximately 1.5 inches in diameter, maybe closer to 2 inches. It was massive, frighteningly massive, terrifyingly massive. Now once they showed me the picture of it, they showed me in the mirror, and now what are they going to do? I'm just totally defaced forever, right? Well, if you're a Mohs surgeon, you see the possible remedy. And it's not what you might think. Just like Donald Trump has the ability, like the Mohs surgeon, to see things that most people don't see, or are unwilling to see, or are unwilling to embrace the cost, the temporary cost, for the long-term gain. Well, guess what? The end of the story there was that she found a way to cut a slice sort of angular across my forehead and take the skin that was loosened from that and stretch it across that almost 2-inch diameter hole in the middle of my forehead, sew up both ends of the sutures. And she said, okay, now, eventually this scar, this is going to heal, and you will be very unlikely at the end of a year to be able to see the scars. People will probably not never see it again. Well, that was hard for me to believe, but she knew. She's an expert in this field and has proven her expertise, just like Donald Trump has proven his expertise in so many different ways. And so the net result is all of that area is healed. People have to be forced to look very closely at my forehead to see what was done. And so do I. Why do I tell you those stories? To kind of get upfront and personal about it, to help us to understand that unless we're able to identify a problem and see the potential remedy for the problem, realizing we're going to have to go through some short-term pain in order to resolve the problem, ultimately, that cancer may end up going through my forehead, taken over my brain, and caused me at this juncture, 7 years later, not to have been able to do this program or even sustain life. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, here's the problem that we have, and I'm just going to introduce you to this because, as I said earlier, tariff cries, Christians terrified. But what are Christians terrified about? Some are terrified about the tariffs. Oh, but that's not the worst thing they're terrified about. They're terrified about persecution because they're totally unprepared. They know from Jesus' words, Paul's words, John's words, Peter's words, James' words, they know that it's coming, but they refuse to be prepared. They don't want to engage in short-term pain to get prepared in order for long-term gain so that they will be able to stand in the evil day when that persecution begins to ravage this country. Just not ready, not willing. And their pastors are not willing to tell them the truth about it. Just like most of the politicians were not willing to tell the truth. Oh, except that Nancy Pelosi did so back on June 27th, 1996. Would you like to hear what she had to say from the floor of the House in 1996 about this issue? Just listen to Nancy Pelosi.
I think it's interesting to note that the average U.S. MFN tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States is 2%, whereas the average Chinese MFN tariff on U.S. goods going into China is 35%. Is that reciprocal? In terms of jobs, this is the biggest and cruelest hoax of all. The China trade supports 170,000 jobs in the United States, 170,000 jobs, whereas our imports from China support 10 million jobs at least. The fact is that U.S.-China trade is a job loser.
Oh. U.S.-China trade is a job loser, and that was in 1996? Was her party willing to do anything about it during the Bill Clinton era? Or how about any other era? How about the Barack Obama era, when Barack Obama himself recognized the problem? How about during a couple of Republican administrations? Were they willing to deal with it? No. Why weren't they willing to deal with the problem that was openly recognized as a serious, serious economic threat to this country? Because they weren't willing to endure short-term pain for long-term gain. They wanted to protect their power, their perks, and their position for the short term and were willing to sacrifice the future of the country for their personal pride, power, perks, and position. That's why. Is anybody listening today? The shocking interconnection between the tariff cries and Christians terrified. Oh, we'll have to go more into that, won't we, to see how that really works. And how about when Chuck Schumer just came out, Pelosi's alternative there in the United States Senate, and accuses Donald Trump of ugliness, ugliness in America, ugliness in New York with his tariffs. Who's really ugly here? Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
The story continues with regard to the tariff cries across the world. The UK Prime Minister, Starmer, will say that tariffs are wrong, but that he understands U.S. President Donald Trump's economic nationalism. In other words, protecting his country. Now, isn't that what a president was elected to do? To protect his country from enemies, foreign and domestic, which would include economic enemies? The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, today has delivered a speech acknowledging that the era of globalization has come to an end. He made the address in response to U.S. President Donald Trump imposing sweeping tariffs on the majority of American trading partners, including the U.K. Now, the Prime Minister will say that tariffs are wrong, but would he also stress that he understands Trump's economic nationalism and why the voters who believe they have seen no benefits from the free trade and mass immigration support it? So Starmer stresses that the fallout from the U.S. charges on imports means that the government in London should move further and faster to boost economic growth at home. He says the world has changed. Globalization is over, and we are now in a new era. We've got to demonstrate that our approach, a more reformist government, can provide the answers for people in every part of this country, he said. Now, isn't this interesting? He says the world as we knew it is gone in the face of the tariffs. First, it was a defense and national security. Now, it's the global economy and trade. Old assumptions, he said, can no longer be taken for granted. So, he added that the British government would soon turbocharge plans that improve domestic competitiveness so that we are less likely to be exposed to global shocks. Talk about immediate response. Here is the Prime Minister of the UK saying, hey, this has shaken us up. It's helped us to see the world differently. Now, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Some people will say, because he said globalism is gone, that that's a bad thing because liberals love globalism. The World Economic Forum was all about globalism, right? But who's to say that the surprising end of it all will be, in effect, a new, stronger global order? We don't know. But something had to be done. Because as Donald Trump has said numerous times, in fact, just today, he said, unless we did this, the United States of America was going to be bankrupt in 2 years. Why did our politicians not see any of this? Oh, they did. But they were pandering to the public. They didn't want you to be terrified. They didn't want you to accuse them of causing too much pain in the country No, we'll just go along and pretend that everything's wonderful, everything's cool, right? That's how they worked. Both Republican and Democrat. Both Republican and Democrat. So where is it going now? Feeling further market meltdown, Germany's prime minister or chancellor now has called for swift action on tariffs. Major stock indexes plunged today as Trump showed no sign of backing away from his tariff plans. So the German conservative candidate for chancellor, leader Friedrich Merz, attended a press conference following the German general election in Berlin. He called Monday for swift action to secure Germany's competitiveness in response to sliding stock and bond markets following Trump's announcement of sweeping tariffs. He said the situation on the international equity and bond markets is dramatic and threatens to deteriorate further. It is therefore more urgent than ever for Germany to restore its international competitiveness as quickly as possible. He said the issue must now be at the center of the coalition negotiations. Repeating his party's call for tax cuts and reduction in red tape and lower energy prices, the very same thing that Donald Trump is asking for in this country. Yet Harvard's university's economist, Lawrence Sumner, warned that the stock market turbulence is likely to continue. Last week was about just under $6 trillion market wipeout, the fourth largest two-day move since the Second World War. But we're nowhere near what happened in 1987, October 19th, Black Monday, where the stock market dropped almost 23 points in one day. But Sumner said a drop of this magnitude, 6%, signals there's likely to be trouble ahead, and people ought to just be cautious. But not just be cautious, they ought to realize no short-term pain, no long-term gain. Something had to happen. Unless the whole economy of the country would tank. And guess what would then happen echoing across the world? In response, the African nation of Zimbabwe says his government prefers to foster friendly relations with all countries rather than take a hostile stance. So the Zimbabwe president has announced plans to remove tariffs on goods imported from the U.S. in an attempt to improve bilateral relations, which have been strained for years. See, this wasn't a short-term problem. Just as Donald Trump has said, the nations of the earth were ripping off, to use his term, the American people. Things are happening, and they're happening very quickly. 50 countries, more than 50 countries, have contacted the White House to start trade talks. This is moving very, very rapidly, friends. It's not just the tanking of the stock market. That was the short-term consequence that alerted and got the attention of the world. In the process, oil prices have hit a four-year low. Crude prices have dropped below $64 per barrel as the U.S.-China trade tensions fuel fears of a recession. Oil prices tumbled over 3% today, deepening the last week's losses as escalating U.S.-China trade tensions heighten fears of a recession that could slash crude demand. So, we were seeing oil prices rise. They rose about 30 cents in 1 week. Now they're in the process of nosediving. Oil prices nosedived 7% on Friday after China hit back at the U.S. by slapping 34% import tariffs on American goods. intensifying the trade war and fueling recession fears among investors. Now, Mr. Trump not only has said that he wants to reduce oil prices, but he wants to do it not just through tariffs, but primarily through producing more oil in this country. Because before he took office, in fact, when he was last in office, the United States had become the number one producer of energy in the world, as testified to by Vladimir Putin. Mr. Biden reversed all of that. Dangerously reversed it all. So it affected America's economy. It affected you at the pump. You talk about prices escalating. Mr. Biden caused gas prices to escalate dramatically. About 40-50%. Caused food prices to escalate dramatically in the same way because the fuel prices. You see, Mr. Trump sees through all of that. As a businessman, not a politician, he's not dealing primarily politically. He's dealing as a businessman and somebody with economic prescience who, almost like a prophet, is able to perceive what other people either don't perceive or are unwilling to deal with. So he's not risking. For him, it's not a political risk because he's not looking at it politically. Others are. But he's not. And that's exactly the kind of person we needed. Now, I want to shift over from that to deal with what you and I have to deal with when it comes to a far more serious issue. And that is the issue of persecution. Now, I'm not going to lay out for you all the different things, the different persecutions that are taking place right now. I have a whole raft of them sitting right next to me. We don't have time to go through that again. If you're not aware of what's taking place, it's because you're choosing to close your eyes to it. If you've been listening to this program for the past year or so, you know exactly what's happening. If you choose not to recognize it, that means you're acting very much like a two-year-old who puts his hand over his face and says to his mother, "Look, Mom, you can't see me." In other words, playing a game of let's pretend. But we can't play that game anymore. Any more than we could play the game economically, Donald Trump says we can't play that game. Well, God says to us, you can't play that game either, Christians, or you're going to be terrified beyond your wit's end when the persecution comes. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
We hear once more from Nancy Pelosi concerning the issue of tariffs in China that came out on June 27th, 1996. Keep that year in mind, 1996. Here's Nancy Pelosi again.
In terms of tariffs, I think it's interesting to note that the average U.S. MFN tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States is 2%, whereas the average Chinese MFN tariff on U.S. goods going into China is 35%. Is that reciprocal? In terms of jobs, this is the biggest and cruelest hoax of all. The China trade supports 170,000 jobs in the United States, 170,000 jobs, whereas our imports from China support 10 million jobs at least. The fact is that U.S.-China trade is a job loser.
Huh. So she warned on no uncertain terms. She had the charts right in front of her to show the Congress and the world, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. 1996. That same year, I sent a lawsuit, crafted a lawsuit, Jehovah God, the Lord of Nations versus the spiritual leaders of America, a.k.a. pastors, parachurch leaders, broadcasters, publishers, and so on, authors, defendants. It was set forth in five legal causes of action, but it wasn't filed in the courts of this world. It was filed in the courts of heaven. Why? Because God is the one that has jurisdiction over his church. And it was done on behalf of the kingdom of God. It was 28 pages, consisting of numerous pages of excerpts from the book of Jeremiah as legal points and authorities from God's viewpoint to speak to the various issues in the church in America. It was served on 300 of the most prominent Christian leaders in the land, people whose names were the most prominent in American news, in our churches, in our radio and television ministries, both locally and around the world. These were the leaders of the Christian community in America and the world. 300 of them. 250 of them were served by express mail. The other 50 were served personally by yours truly. I remember when I encountered Pat Robertson at Fasting and Prayer 96 in St. Louis, right as the focus of that lawsuit was intended for, because 4,000 Christian leaders were joining there in St. Louis to so-called pray for the church in America. So I went up to Pat Robertson, who is a lawyer. He's now deceased. And I said, Pat, from one lawyer to another, you'll understand exactly what this is about. So I watched as he sat down on the front row of this 4,000-person assembly and went over page by page with the same document that I had served upon Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Christian Campus Crusade. And they went through it page by page. I watched them. They saw exactly what was on that page, on those papers. Did they do anything about it? No. Why? For the same reason, friends, that our politicians have been unwilling to deal with this economic issue of the tariffs in our country. Unwilling. Why? They didn't want to trouble their constituencies. They were afraid their constituencies wouldn't respond well because it would shake them up. It would cause temporary pain, yet long-term gain, but they weren't willing to go through the long-term gain, a short-term pain to get to the long-term gain, so they said nothing. Another, the co-author of the Left Behind series, went after me for 2 years, mocking. He said, I've been a pastor for 25 years in the largest Christian denomination in the country, and this is not right, this is not true, this is not this, this is not that. No. I'm telling you, I'm letting you in on the inside, my friends, a little bit. This is what we've been dealing with in our country. And now, having refused to deal with the moral and spiritual issues that would bring about true revival in our country and prepare Christians for the difficult times that are coming, they're unprepared. We've cried out, like the people are crying for about the tariffs, cried out, Lord, heal our land, heal our country. We haven't been serious about that. Not really, because it begins in the church house. Judgment begins in the house of God. So does the repentance. So does the short-term pain have to begin in the church house for long-term gain in the country. But we were unwilling to see it, unwilling to act upon it. So what was done was an exercise in spiritual due process to woo and to warn the leaders of our country. That is, the spiritual leaders of our country. Just 2 weeks ago, a gentleman who has that lawsuit in his hand called me and he said, Chuck, I've been reading that lawsuit again. You need to get that out again. I said, I'm not sure it would do a bit of good. People don't want to listen. They're just not willing to listen. They'd rather cry about tariffs than they would prepare for persecution, of which they will be incredibly terrified, unprepared. So what does Jesus have to say about any of this, if anything? Well, he has a lot to say. If we were to go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice he's talking about the future. He's not talking about the present and all the excitement you're going to have about the persecution. He's talking about the future. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. Notice, future gain in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which before you, who didn't feel very good about the persecution. Isaiah didn't feel very good about being sawn in half in a log. Peter didn't feel very good about being crucified upside down. Right? John didn't feel very good about being exiled to the island of Patmos. But all of these things, from God's viewpoint, you see, were an investment in future gain. In Luke chapter 6, we find Jesus verbalizing it very similarly. Here's what he said, chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward, notice the future gain, is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Notice the constant focus, not on the pain, but on the gain. Peter does the same thing. Remember, Peter was crucified upside down. He didn't think that he was eligible to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus, so he was crucified upside down by Rome. The same folk that crucified Jesus in conjunction with the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders went after Peter just as they went after Jesus. And they took him before Rome. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Beloved, talking to you and me as believers, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Notice again the future gain for short-term pain. But that's not all he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5-8. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice again the future, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, that's short term, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or testings, that the trial of your faith now, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice short-term pain, long-term gain. Also in chapter 4, again, of 1 Peter, verse 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, that is in persecution, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. In other words, trust in God that the short-term pain will result in long-term kingdom gain. That's the whole message of the gospel, my friend. And Christians in America and the West don't get it. We've been sold an artificial gospel, a partial gospel. It's not a gospel that will sustain us when push comes to shove and persecution knocks at the door. And that's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes. Not if it comes, when it comes. Preparing our hearts for perilous times. When persecution comes, preparing our hearts for perilous times. And those perilous times are here. You didn't think that the perilous times were here with regard to the tariffs either, did you? No, you didn't think that because you weren't led to think that. Our leaders hid that from us, didn't they? They didn't want to talk about it. They just didn't want to talk about it. Why didn't they want to talk about it? Because they didn't think it would market well. It wouldn't sell well to the people. And they were more interested in short-term gain and long-term pain because they didn't care. Not really. They didn't love you. Do our pastors really love us if they're not going to tell us what God said? If they're not going to give us the whole picture, do they really love us? If a parent does not tell his children and warn his kids about, or her kids, about what's going on, what's going to happen in their life. Have we not committed child abuse? This is what's happening, friends. And God is not willing for you to be taken unawares. In the nature of divine due process, that book was written to prepare the way of the Lord in your life, in our lives, for that which is coming. To be unprepared, to be forewarned is to be forearmed, right? Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. You'll be encouraged and strengthened. And it's available to you for your gift of $25 or more to Save America Ministries. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Friends, we're in the moment of truth. We're in the valley of decision. Every one of us. Yours truly. Are you willing to endure short-term pain for long-term gain? Better get prepared and prepare your kids, your sons, your daughters, and your constituencies, my dear pastor friends. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.